Classic Business, education and training.
Time for this week's education feature, brought to you in partnership with Wits Business School, sculpting global leaders. And while the court judgments pile up against her, the latest being President Cyril Ramaphosa's interdict to prevent her ordered censure by him of his public enterprises minister Pravin Gordhan, public protector Busisiwe Mkhwebane just seems to soldier on regardless. Our esteemed public protector recently launched an investigation into the signing of REAP Bid Window 4. Based on what appears to be some really dodgy accusations, it's the usual suspects who seem to be bent on discrediting renewable energy in South Africa. Eskom has been tasked to provide all the contracts and supporting documentation related to these, and some very interesting developments. The probe does come at a time where factional battles in the ANC are rife, and it has become apparent that South Africa's energy mix is central in these divisions. Well, adjunct Professor Rod Crompton, Director of the African Energy Leadership Centre at Wits Business School, is in studio to help us make sense of all of this. Evening, Prof. Never a dull moment in the local energy space.
Good evening. Indeed, indeed.
What is the nub of this most recent complaint?
The essence of it is that the procurement of these renewable power stations was illegal and unlawful and improper. So there's an enormous amount of confusion around this. Let's go slowly and take it step by step. First question is, who procured these power stations, these renewable energy power stations? Who ordered them? It wasn't Eskom. It wasn't NERSA, the regulator. It was government through the Independent Power Producers Office, which is a joint venture between the Department of Energy and National Treasury. So the government went out to the market and said, please, can people put forward bids to build renewable power stations? And people did submit bids, and government entered into contracts with them to supply power for 20 years when they built these new power stations. The government then said to Eskom, you must sign a power purchase agreement because you control the transmission grid. And so if they want to get their power from where they make it to where the customers are, it's got to travel along the transmission lines. You must sign a power purchase agreement with them that you guarantee to buy all their power for 20 years. And Eskom said, yes, boss. And it signed those agreements. So the issue is not really so much that, it's about the money. So let's talk a little bit about the money. Does Eskom pay too much or too little for this power? Well, from Eskom's point of view, the truth is it's cash neutral. The tariff that NERSA gives Eskom allows for these purchases from these independent power stations. And it says, Eskom, if you pay 100 million for purchasing that power, we will add 100 million into your tariff. So the question then gets asked, but how come the tariffs to these renewable power producers are so high and yet Eskom's tariff is so low? This also needs to be clear. First of all, who picked these technologies? Was it Eskom that picked these expensive technologies? No, it wasn't. It was the government. The government said, we want a suite of different technologies, including the most expensive and the cheapest. And secondly, the Eskom's tariff is a blended tariff. It's an average of its own fleet of power stations produced at the same cost. There are new ones, there are old ones, there are middle-aged ones, there are efficient ones, there are inefficient ones. So it's an average. Average of their power stations. It's an average of the price they sell electricity to export markets. It's an average of the price they import electricity from Mozambique, for example, for. And it's an average of the price they buy power from the other diesel independent power producers and, of course, from the IPPs. So that average tariff that everyone talks about in Eskom is an average of all those things. And because the proportions are different, they're not all equal proportions, obviously, the average comes out at what it is.
But that pass-through cost, despite the fact that it's cost neutral to Eskom, it has to be paid by an end user at the end of the day in that averaged out tariff. So the fact is the government did take a decision via the IPP office, which, as you said, was that JV, to select a suite of differing technologies, some at more expensive costs than others at different stages of their life cycle, which have meant that the end tariff that the user of electricity is paying is higher as a result.
That's quite correct. And one wonders, one scratches one's head. Why didn't government go out to the market and say, we want a new power station? Please submit your bids. We don't care what technology it is. As long as it works, we'll take the cheapest. Thank you very much. But no, the government decide to be clever and say, we want this so much of this flavor and so much of that flavor and so much of the other flavor and so many different technologies, and you end up with this higher price. And it looks like we're about to get that all over again with the new integrated resource plan, which is really the electricity plan that's about to be announced. It seems like government is going to pick technologies again.
And Rod, that is really the heart of this conversation, is we want to get economic growth going again. We have to ask ourselves very difficult questions. They shouldn't be difficult questions. We should be asking, do we want economic growth? What is the lowest energy cost that can provide a support to manufacturing and other highly energy intensive sectors, and then go down that path? But we just have to, speaking of paths, have a look at the traffic with Katleho. When we return, I just want to pick up on that issue and how you see potentially this case impacting on the IRP. Do you see yourself having a career in the energy space? The African energy industry needs a new generation of expert leaders. Arm yourself with the latest knowledge and skills and join the 2020 Masters Program or the Postgraduate Diploma in the field of energy leadership at Wits Business School. Applications are now open. Visit wbs.ac.za now. Wits Business School, sculpting global leaders.
This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Welcome back in studio. I've got adjunct Professor Rod Crompton, Director of the African Energy Leadership Centre at Wits Business School, and we're talking about the Public Protector's recently launched investigation into the signing of REIPPPP Bid Window 4. Rod, when we left, we were speaking about that blended tariff that the end user pays for electricity in South Africa and what goes into that. The fact is, you mentioned that we're going down a very similar path to the one that we followed earlier with government requesting a suite of different technologies. That may increase the eventual tariff or the price of electricity in South Africa at a time when we certainly can't afford it. That there's a battle here that seems to be waged between renewable proponents on the one side, those who believe in fossil fuels and coal and the way things have always been done on the other. How do we strip out some of the politics and just get down to what is needed for the South African economy? And that really is the lowest cost power to help support manufacturing and other high energy intensive industries.
Well, in one sense, business is doing it already. There's a report in the paper that a particular firm is installing solar power for certain big companies at 20% below Eskom's average tariff. So these people are going partially or wholly off-grid. They've decided. They've done it. And if we think the renewable energy has been a disruptor in the electricity market, what's coming is going to be an even bigger disruptor. And what's coming is quantum changes in the holy grail of electricity storage. The development of batteries, in particular new silicon batteries, are going to change the electricity industry like nothing you can think of. We think renewable energy is disruptive. This is going to be totally disruptive.
Is this aligned to renewable energy?
Yes. So because the sun only shines during the day, you need to store power for nighttime use. And batteries have been the way to do it. And there are technology breakthroughs happening in the battery and electricity storage technologies, which are going to be seriously disruptive, I think. And these problems we're debating this evening might be even worse problems in a few years' time.
So, in other words, we are at an inflection point where the IRP becomes even more important as to how the new technologies will impact our ability to store and to generate electricity in the future. What are the key decisions that we need to be making now? We still have the IRP up in the air and being debated and discussed at NEDLAC. What would you like to see from the policymakers to ensure that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past?
I think we have to move to a more market-based power generation sector. We need to set up an independent system operator and market operator which can receive bids from all kinds of producers, big and small, into the power pool and let market forces determine these things. The technologies are so complicated that trying to pick winners, as we've seen, government has picked rather poorly. And we've got a higher electricity tariff as a consequence. I mean, picking coal, as we've seen with Medupi and Kusile, they went badly wrong. They now, the charges from those plants will be very high as well when they become fully on stream. So we've just got to let market forces apply, and let's not run away from the fact there's spilt milk that has to be paid for. government has made errors, and somebody is going to have to pay for it. Taxpayers or electricity consumers or somebody.
That debt pile sitting on Eskom's balance sheet won't go away, abracadabra style, as Reserve Bank Governor Lesetha Kanyaga has said. Back to the complaint lodged by, well, not lodged by the public protector, it was lodged by the Anti-Poverty Forum. What do we know about the Anti-Poverty Forum?
Nothing. It's a fairly obscure organisation which no one seems to know much about.
If we look at this complaint, it does look quite similar to what the Coal Transporters Forum, Transform SA, NUMSA and former Eskom CEO Machela Koko tried and were defeated in court to do to ensure that we veer off this path of renewable energy. Is there any similarity between the two cases that you pick up?
I think there's some similarity. And what is saddening is that these things are so simple. If somebody who had received that complaint had done the very mildest of look into this question, they wouldn't have taken it any further.
And also curious that they went to Eskom and not the Department of Energy's IPP office.
Which just shows you how little they understand of how these power stations came into being.
Now, just as we conclude, Rod, we do have the Chief Restructuring Officer inside Eskom, so the ball is rolling towards the unbundling that the President has said will happen in terms of his plans and the State of the Nation addresses that he's delivered. That's distribution, transmission and generation. So we're heading towards an ISMO-type system in South Africa. Are you confident that we are tackling this with sufficient urgency?
Well, remember, this is round two. This was all laid out in the White Paper on Energy Policy of 1998. And South Africa had a first round at trying to do this electricity industry reform. We had the ISMO bill, we had REDS, we had the EDR holdings. All that came to nothing. So this is round two. We're starting again. Whether we'll be more successful, we'll only know in the future.
What do you think are the biggest roadblocks?
The biggest roadblocks are that some tough decisions have to be made. And I think politicians are not, in this climate, ready to make tough decisions. Same as in round one, only the conditions, in my view, are tougher now than they were in the last 20 years.
Much tougher if one looks at the debt burden on Eskom and the potential spillover onto the South African fiscus.
The difference this time is there literally is no room to move. Something has to be done or it's all fall down.
Adjunct Professor Rod Crompton, Director of the African Energy Leadership Centre at Wits Business School, with insights into the Public Protector's investigation of the REAP programme and the energy sector in this week's education feature, brought to you in partnership with Wits Business School, Sculpting Global Leaders.